this morning that's found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. I hope you'll pay attention for the reading of God's word this morning. Remove not the ancient landmarks that thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Now, most people, when they read that, they will refer back to the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses had instructed Joshua that when they went into the land of Canaan, they were to divide up the land. When they divided up the land, they would use stones or various landmarks to mark the boundaries of the property per tribe of the people of Israel, as this was their inheritance. And if you read in the book of Joshua, you will find that these boundaries or property lines, each time he gave them to one of the tribes or one of the families, as an inheritance, as they went into the land of Canaan and conquered it and occupied it, he would say in the fourth chapter of Joshua, according to the words of Moses, according to the words of Moses. And I think that's very important when you read about that in Joshua. I think it's chapter 13. I might have said chapter 4. Joshua chapter 13. Eleazar and Joshua, they divided up the land. But even prior to that, it was said by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 4 to not remove the boundaries. Do not remove the landmarks that mark out the property line. Of course, doing that would be stealing, right? If you, in the middle of the night, went out and you moved the property line and suddenly you've got 10 more feet or you've got 20 more feet of property on your side, well, that would be thievery, that would be stealing, that would be wrong. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture, we instantly know that it's wrong to steal, right? Don't steal. Don't move the property line. But later on, there was an old prophet by the name of Hosea. In Hosea chapter 5 and verse 10, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. And he began to refer to the princes of Israel moving the boundaries, and what they were doing is they were departing from the ways of God. Everybody say, departing from the ways of God. The princes of Israel were departing from the ways of God. And he said, the princes of Israel, their departure from the ways of God was as those that moved the landmarks, or those that moved the boundaries. And he went on, and if you want to read that verse, it says, the princes of Judea were like them that removed the boundaries. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like a river. So the wrath of God was coming upon those who were moving the spiritual boundaries. Do you believe there are spiritual boundaries? I know the late J.R. Graves wrote a book entitled Landmarkism. And this is the verse that he referenced regarding those basic fundamental Baptist principles that we ought to adhere to. One of the things in the 1800s, the late 1800s, when J.R. Graves and J.M. Pendleton and Amos Cooper Dayton, who was the pastor of New Bethel back then, they were concerned about pulpit affiliation. They were concerned about the blurring of the doctrines. And if you blend and blur the distinct doctrines that are found in the Scriptures, you've got a hodgepodge of different beliefs. And listen, that's not what we were given. We were given specific boundaries, specific landmarks, specific doctrines that we ought to adhere to. And we can't move them. I'm fearful that we have a generation, they're not moving them, they're simply neglecting them. I know there were times back years ago, I was with a man, and he said, there's a stake down there in those woods somewhere, you know, and there were briars, and there was a thicket, and you couldn't find that stake that marked the property boundary or property line. It had grown up. And listen, we need to keep those landmarks clear for all to see, distinguished. and distinctive. And so in these verses of Scripture, I want us to consider, as Moses allocated the boundaries for the people of Israel, and it was given to him from God, we have Jesus Christ who has given us church doctrines that we ought to hold to. And we should never depart from them and never move from them. In 1998, Brother Perrigo taught a lesson at Old Union Minister School entitled, Illuminate the Landmarks That Our Fathers Have Set. And that preachers and pastors are responsible for pointing out these doctrinal distinctions that we have and making sure that people understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As I listened to that, I was greatly blessed. Listen, if we move from Baptist doctrines, then we suddenly lose our identity as Baptists. We're not Baptists anymore. If we hold to other doctrines of other denominations and we blend and mend with those people that are not of the same beliefs and practices as we are, then we lose our identity. You know, there's an aesthetic property to these landmarks. There's set principles associated with their beauty. Amen? And we need to be able to discover them and understand them. C.S. Lewis, in his cleverly written work, The Screwtape Letters, wrote, quote, he said, indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. End of quote. There are two words I want you to notice in this statement, and that is without milestones. Churches need milestones. Places where we reflect back and we remember how it used to be. And of course, when we have those milestones and they reveal the things that have transpired through the years, we can celebrate. We can praise the Lord on what God has done. But also, it exposes, when we have milestones, it exposes whether or not there has been a drift. If your house was planted on the edge of a cliff, you would know that it's important for you to put a stake out there to measure and make sure that your property wasn't deteriorating. You'd want to make sure that as you put a stake in there, you want to make sure that there wasn't a change that was taking place in your property where you were losing ground. And sometimes we have to look back and make sure that there's not been a drift. We need to measure and make sure there's not been erosion. That's the word I was looking for. That there's not been erosion. Erosion happens in churches. Amen? Erosion occurs. And so if we don't have milestones, we won't realize that there's been erosion or that there's been a drift. I think it's important for us to maintain the truth and the doctrines that we were founded upon when this church was organized. And we need to look back and make sure that we still believe and practice the New Hampshire Articles of Faith, right? We need to make sure that we're still true to what we intended when we initially came together 45 years ago and organized this church, where sinners are saved by grace, wholly and completely by grace, amen? That we still believe in experimental knowledge, that sinners don't just go forward and pray a prayer of jingle bells, but they come to the altar and they mourn over their sins and they repent and put faith in Jesus Christ. That they know what it means to be born from above. Before they ever become a member of this church, they need to be regenerated. We believe wholly and completely in a regenerated membership. That's a staple, amen? That's a landmark doctrine that people need to be saved before they're members of the Lord's church. That there needs to be blood applied to the soul before they ever go into the waters of baptism. Blood before the water, water before church membership. Amen? Amen. Now, without these milestones, we won't realize there's been a drift. And that's why it's so important for us to have homecomings. Not just to celebrate all the good things that God has done, but to check and make sure that there's not been erosion to the glorious truths that we were founded upon. Amen? Amen. Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said that he would establish his church. He told them that upon this rock I will establish my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's good news and that's bad news. The good news is that the church will prevail. The bad news is that Satan is going to try, and he's going to continue to try to dismantle the church of Jesus Christ. That there's going to be a constant warfare in the church. Constant warfare. And there are a lot of changes, and there are a lot of challenges and a lot of struggles that we go through. But listen to me. This is important. That is a normal part of a true church of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite comic strips is... Well, he's retired now. I don't think comic strip writers ought to retire, but Gary Larson, he may be dead now. But he wrote he did the comic strip Far Side. Remember those? I used to get one of those big calendars, you know, that had all them Far Side comic strips, calendars every year for Christmas because I like comic strips. Anyway, on one particular comic strip, he had a picture of two deers standing in a forest. One of these bucks had a big, bold bullseye on its shoulder. And the other buck, you know, was staring at this large target on the shoulder of this buck. And I'll never forget the caption at the bottom. That little one-liner. And he says, well, that's bummer of a birthright. Hal, what a bummer of a birthright. Well, listen, the church was born with a bullseye on his back. All you need to do is read the New Testament. Satan is always trying to cause division and dismantle the Lord's church. Amen. And we're aware of that. We're very conscious of this. And so we need to be aware of these drifts and this attempt to dismantle us and get us to part from the truths that we were founded upon. Now, I believe that the church of the true and living God goes all the way back to when Jesus set it up in his personal ministry. I believe we are a local, independent body. Those churches that believe that the church was established at Pentecost, they usually hold to the doctrine of universal church theory, and we do not adhere to that. We do not believe in that. We believe in a visible, local body of baptized believers. Amen. We didn't come out of the Catholics. The Catholics didn't start to 400 years after the church was established. We aren't Presbyterians. We're not Protestants. We didn't come out of a Reformation. We have been here through every century of time since Jesus organized us. Well, that's some form of landmarkism, if you believe that. You're a landmark Baptist. You believe that the church has been here. Well, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? We've been here, and I believe we go all the way back to Jerusalem. Amen? Whether in spirit or in history, we go all the way back to Jerusalem. And the church has never needed a reformation or a restart. Okay, we didn't die out of the need to be reborn. Listen, the church has been here. I know there's some difficult times during the dark ages where it's hard to find us, but we were here. Most of you have probably read The Trail of Blood. You know, I get worried about the drifts in churches, don't you? And there have been many of them down through the years. But a landmark, and I'm getting plumb away from my... I just want to point out a few of these landmarks that we should not remove. I want to point out some of the characteristics of the landmarks. First of all, I want to point out that these landmarks are vulnerable and they're valuable. They're vulnerable in that people are attempting to move them. We have heretics. We have people that are spoken of in the New Testament as deceivers, and they're always trying to change or move the landmarks. Did you realize, and I looked this up, and I was going back to when I took real estate classes back in the 80s, and it's still true today, that if your neighbor encroaches on your property and uses your property for a certain length of time, it becomes their property. Were you aware of that? An uncontested encroachment upon your property, after so long, you lose ownership of it. Look it up. I can't find where I wrote that down or jotted that down. And it's called a particular thing in, just look it up. It's a law. If we let these changes go uncontested, we'll eventually lose ground. Are you with me? And it'll be taken from us, and it'll no longer be ours. Folks, that's occurred through the centuries. There have been people that have come in and overcome churches, taken their buildings and their resources, and pulled right out from underneath the congregation the soundness of God's holy word. It's happened. So these landmarks are valuable, and they're also vulnerable. I still contend we war against liberalism. We war against modernism. We war against trendism. I want to read you something, and I'm debating on whether to read it or not. I think I'm going to. This was written by an old-time Methodist back during the Civil War. He was captured as a POW during the Civil War. He was released, and he went back to Franklin, Tennessee. And he was shocked, literally shocked, at the changes that had occurred in the churches. And he wrote a series of books about prayer. Let me read some of the things from E.M. Bounds. This is over 100 years ago, and as I read it, it's as though the ink is still wet on the page. Quote, "We are continually striving to create new methods, plans, and organizations to advance the church. We are ever working to provide and stimulate growth and efficiency of the gospel. This trend of the day has a tendency to lose sight of the people." He had men, but lose sight of the people. "Or else he is lost in the workings of the plan or organization. God's plan is to make such of people or men, far more of them than anything else. People are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods. She needs men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through the people. The Holy Spirit doesn't come on machinery, but on the people. He doesn't anoint plans of men. He anoints the people. End of quote. Isn't that good? Well, listen to me. There's a lot of doctrinal landmarks, and I want to get to just a few of them before I close. But if we don't stand up for something, we're going to fall for anything. And we need to stand up for the truth. Amen? Now, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a Bible-thumping, Bible-believing Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. We hold that the Bible is the supreme, the sufficient, exclusive and absolute rule in all matters of our faith. We believe in a rigid adherence to the practice of separation as the Scriptures teach. The church is not to be like the world. We are to be different. And we need to take a doctrinal stand. A doctrinal stand. I believe we ought to continue to adhere to the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Amen? Just as they were given unto us. That baptism is by immersion. The Lord's Supper is taken by the church and the church alone. And we come together and we take the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine prepared by the deacons. Should have got an amen about that too. Have you seen these new little fangled things? You know, a little package deal, like a little lunchbox. It's a lunchbox Lord's Supper thing that they sell. Y'all seen those? You pull it back and there's your bread and your juice. Have you ever been to a church where they have a big old table on the back and everybody just goes by and takes it as they like? Whoever you are, whatever you are. I tell you, this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, was set up in His church. And I'm proud of this church, the way we came together Sunday night and the people that were here. We had a large crowd, and that glorifies the Lord, amen? Because as often as you do it, you do show and proclaim the Lord's death till He comes, amen? I believe there's only two officers in the Lord's church, pastor and deacon. We had officers, but we only have two offices, amen? I still believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe not only in the Trinity, but I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I believe in eternity. I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I still believe in eternal security, that once you become a child of God, you're always a child of God. Amen. We believe that God, Jehovah God, that we read of in the Old Testament, He created this world in 6 days, and on the seventh He rested and hallowed it. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Lord Jesus is coming back to gather His people. And as Brother Jeff read in Sunday school, there is a great marriage that's going to take place between Christ and His church. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place. I believe in a great and glorious heaven, a new Jerusalem, a glorified Jerusalem prepared for the people of God. Sure do. I believe that when the Lord Jesus comes to gather His jewels, that there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. He's going to raise the dead. Amen. Oh, what a glorious truth that is. And as our article of faith reads, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming to take us home. He's going to raise the dead. And the Bible says we're going to meet the Lord in a cloud in the air. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There are many wonderful landmarks, doctrines that we should never change or move. We have no right to, right? They are laid out in the Word of God, and we're not going to alter what the Word of God teaches. We're going to hold to what it says. We're going to believe it. We're going to practice it, and we're going to hold on to it till the Lord comes back. I challenge anyone who takes issue with the Lord's church and what it believes and what it teaches to sit down with us with the Bible. You hear me? Sit down with us with a Bible. And I believe we can prove all things. Prove all things. We live in a messed up society. Satan's trying to legalize sin. Satan is trying to legalize sin. Socialize the sinner, optimize the sinning. He's been trying to sterilize the family. He's been stigmatizing the saints of God, calling us crazy for holding on to these truths. But let's stand. Let's dust off these ancient landmarks, sound doctrine. I believe in sound doctrine, don't you? As it was given to us. Let's hold on to them. Let's believe them. Let's practice them. I still believe. I know sometimes it gets a little awkward, but I still believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If you feel the Lord moving upon your heart to speak, we'll let you speak. You won't find that anywhere else. We'll let you speak. We'll let you speak. If God moves upon you to raise your hand, we'll let you raise your hand. We ought to see more of that nowadays than we do. If the Lord is leading you to shout, we'll let you shout. Amen. Don't you like being at those places? Yeah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When God is moving in a service, we'll let the Lord have His way. Amen. If you're a sinner and you're here and God is working on your heart and dealing with you and troubling you about your sins, we'll let you come to this altar and pray till you make it right. We'll let you stay down here, and we want you to know for yourself that you're a child of God. We'll let you pray through. We won't take you to another room and try to manipulate you psychologically. We will not get between you and the working of the Holy Spirit. That is between you and God. We can't save you or change you or transform your soul and make you a child of God. Only God Himself can do that. And so if you want to be saved, you're going to have to go directly to God. Now we'll stay and pray with you, but you're the ones God pray. Let's stand and sing a verse of some song. I appreciate your listening to me. Most of you saw the announcing that I'm going to have another grandson. Well, we don't know if it's a boy or not, but I'm praying for a boy. I want a boy. I like boys. They're fun. You know what? More than anything else, the thing that is most valuable to me is I want to make sure that boy gets an opportunity to pray through. I don't want anybody messing with him. I want to know for himself that he's a child of God. I want to see him in heaven. If he's born again, God's going to have to do it. The new birth comes from above. Amen? And I want churches like this one to still hold on to that ancient landmark. They've not moved from that place where sinners need to pray through. Know for themselves that they're saved. You know, this used to be a doctrine of a lot of different denominations, not just us. Can I say that again? Not just us. Other denominations used to insist. Yeah, they used to insist on going to the altar and praying and seeking God and calling upon the Lord and experiencing the new birth. My wife's grandmother was an old-fashioned Methodist. I used to go down to their church up in Allen County, Kentucky. They had a mourner's bench, and she told every one of her kids, you gotta find the Lord. You gotta know the Lord. They still let them go down there and pray. Her dad got saved in a General Baptist church. Yeah. Them old-fashioned Presbyterians, man, they believe it. The Cumberland Presbyterians. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Man, you got to know the Lord for yourself. You got to know and have evidence from above that you're a child of God. Man cannot give that to you. Religion cannot give that to you. You've got to find it for yourself. Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Tell you what, you move that landmark and the wrath of God is against you. Jude described them as clouds having no rain. They're blown all over the place. Yeah, they're trees with no fruit on them. No evidence. No evidence. I tell you what, you repent of your sins and you put faith in Jesus Christ and there will be fruit. Amen. There'll be evidence. And we should never baptize somebody until they have evidence. Fruit for repentance. Amen. Meat for repentance. God bless you. I'm glad I heard this truth, aren't you? Remove not those old landmarks that your fathers have set. Don't be instrumental or involved in moving them in any way. Let's stand for them. Let's hold to them. Embrace them. Keep them legible, visible. Keep the area around them clean. You know, where we can clearly identify the line between right and wrong, good and evil, soundness and unsoundness, truth and error. Keep that property line clean. As we sing, if you're here today and you've never been saved, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Philistines had been overthrowing the people of Israel for about 12 years. And they were in all kinds of trouble. I mean, all kinds of trouble. They had lost the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, the glory of God had left. Samuel's daughter, I believe it was, you called it Ichabod. The glory of the Lord's left Israel. The glory of the Lord's left Israel. And they suffered for about 12 years with war and famine and trouble. But they came to Samuel and said, Samuel, we're in all kinds of trouble. Would you pray for us? He was the great prophet of God, the first prophet, the last judge, as he's described. And he said, I will not cease to pray for you. And he went out between Mizpah and Shin. And he erected an altar. And he took a lamb. And as he erected this altar, about the moment he started to slay the lamb, the Philistines came to overthrow the people of Israel who had gathered in that field. But the Bible says, they confessed their sins. They prayed. Samuel called upon the Lord. And the Lord showed up with a thunder. Wouldn't that be great? For the Lord to show up with a thunder. And it says that the people of Israel chased the Philistines all the way to Bethkar, which is interpreted in Hebrew, the house of the Lamb. And they had great victory that day because they confessed their sins. They prayed, they turned to the Lord, they trusted in the Lamb. I tell you, that system works today. Trusted in the Lamb. And Samuel, he's like, you know what? We need to set up a monument, a landmark. And so he took a stone and he erected a landmark and he entitled it a unique title. Most of us are familiar with the name. He called it an Ebenezer, which means from henceforth the Lord has helped us. In other words, right here, I got help from God. Let me ask you today, do you have one of those Ebenezers where you can pinpoint a place where you know God came on the scene and delivered you? Do you remember when you were under conviction and you called on the Lord and the Lord came down and delivered that burden of sin off of you? Do you know a time and a place where that happened? Is there an Ebenezer there? This afternoon, I want us to reflect on that. Not just the landmarks of the church and landmarks that we find that God has laid in His holy word, but we have places, experiences that we, encounters that we've had with God that are special to us, don't we? And this afternoon, I want us to reflect on those times where we've experienced those blessings from God that came down. Those milestones, mile markers in our lives. Sometimes we need to see if there's been an erosion between when we got saved and where we're at now. Sometimes we need to reflect on the blessings we've encountered from that place where we got saved till now. Celebrate what God has done in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones and our friends and family. Keep them fresh in your mind. Those glorious Ebenezers. We're right here. Man, God came down with thunder and He helped us.